G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
You don't have to be in debt to any man when you're financially free. And here Jesus says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, in verse 33, and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. We could convert that into modern day language and say, provide yourself an account. Money bags. Provide yourself an account. An account in the heavens that never fails, where no one can thieve from it, and where it'll never suffer negative gearing or negative interest rates. You won't go backwards when you invest in the kingdom. Now, hands up if you believe we're reading truth here. This is not my opinion. This is what we're reading in the scriptures. Part of discovering financial freedom is understanding that you have an account in the heavens. Yet the majority of Christians don't even know that, and they don't know how to deposit or withdraw from their account. And so they live as if that account doesn't even exist. Yet Jesus himself said, sell what you have and give and provide yourself a money bag which does. What would you need a money bag? Some people have looked at that and they've said, well, you know, that's in heaven. You know, it's a money bag in heaven. Well, what do you need a money bag in heaven for? So I heard about some preacher that he got into heaven and he got to the gate and he had this massive bag. And the angel said, you can't come, you can come in, but you can't bring anything else with you. And he said, oh no, he said, I'm bringing this with me. And the angel said, well, you're really not supposed to. And he said, no, he said, I'm not leaving this anywhere else. He said, this comes with me. So the angel said, all right, fine. Come on in. So the guy is dragging this bag in and the angel said, what's in the bag? And he opened the bag and it was just gold bricks. And the angel said, what'd you bring concrete for? God paves the roads with gold. What we think is like, wow, so precious. And it is precious. I mean, God, but yet it's so common. You don't need money in heaven. You need money here. And Jesus spoke a lot about money. And God's desire for you and I is to be financially free. So I want to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. I'm not going to go over all of it. We covered a lot of stuff. The recording will be online, hey. And you can get last week's and you can get this week's. We'll put that up. But last week we took a little bit of time and we looked at there's a difference between financial security and financial freedom. The world teaches financial security, hey. And most people grow up learning financial security, and there's a big, big difference. God does not want you to be financially secure. He wants you to be financially free. Financial security is when you are amassing goods, possessions, finances, that becomes your safety. That becomes your foundation. And God will never allow you to put any other gods before him. He wants to be your security. And in saying that, I'm not saying that it's wrong to save. I think it's a really important thing to save. Joy and I have a savings plan. In fact, as we've moved into financial freedom, we have multiple accounts, something we never ever had experienced in our life before we began learning and moving into financial freedom. And I shared some of that last week, and I'll probably share a little bit more this week about it. But financial security is a low-risk method of managing your affairs. It's a self-centered mindset that is geared to accumulate as much money and as much possessions as the person can. It's fear-based. Because you just don't know what's going to happen, and we better have something up our sleeve just in case. Now, if that is the reason that you're doing things, then you're doing it from a completely wrong base. You know, if you start operating out of fear, you are drawing the very thing that you want to avoid to you. Because fear really is a perverted form of faith. A person who's fearful of spiders has faith that that spider can hurt them. It's a perversion of faith. So when you're scared about, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen and I better start saving and I better start doing this. There is nothing wrong with saving, but it's the motive behind the saving. It's the motive behind doing anything. And a person who's aiming for financial security is trying to amass what they can because they can't trust anyone else, let alone God. God, you just ain't there. I just don't know. Like, what if you don't come through, and then what am I going to do? And so they're looking at financial security. Anything with risk? No, 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 no. I don't want to do it. Financial security is all about work hard, study hard, get a qualification, get a good job that you can be there for a good 40 years. They're not going to sack you. And it doesn't matter whether it's a job that you really like or it's in an area that you really believe God wants you in. Just get something that you know is secure. And then get a loan and get a house, because house prices are going up. And if you don't get it today, you're gonna pay $100,000 more next year or the year after. And then just try to get it paid off and get out of debt as soon as you can. Hey, and so a person who really pursues financial security is dominated by the cost of everything. Anything that goes wrong, the first thing they're thinking about is how much is that going to cost me. And it's not a fun way to live, eh? There's very little joy in that. Hey, you can't. It's just you feel like you can't relax. I thank God that He began to teach us a few years ago about moving into financial freedom. And financial freedom is totally different. Financial freedom is when you're not hindered by the pressures or the demands of your finances. Hey? I want you to notice the definition there. It doesn't say you don't have any pressures. People are looking for absence of pressure. You're not going to have it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have pressure. Financial freedom is when that doesn't hinder you anymore. You can just walk above it. Jesus went through a storm just like the disciples did, except He just slept through it. He was free. The disciples were the ones who were trying to fend for themselves and getting into strife, hey? So financial freedom is when you're not hindered by the pressures and demands of your finances. Hey, it's not freedom from debt, but it will lead to freedom from debt. It's not necessarily money in the bank, but usually you will find you'll begin to accumulate finances in the bank. You stay on it long enough and it will grow. Hey. It's not dependent on what sort of job you have. I love that. When God taught us that. I shared a little bit about this last week, you know, like it wouldn't be, that makes total sense if you're a citizen of the kingdom. Anything else does not make sense. If you're called to be a cleaner and someone else is called to be a CEO and you're doing what you're called to do, well, that sucks if you're the one who has to do the cleaning. But God is no respecter of persons. Whether you're a cleaner or a CEO, God does not respect, He's not a respecter. And He will bless you because you're doing what He's called you to do. And how many people have neglected to do what He's called them to do because they looked at the bottom line, how much does it pay? And they missed the reward that was set aside for them. They missed the victories. They missed many answers to prayer because they weren't where God wanted them to be, hey? But when you're where God wants you to be, you're financially free. It's not dependent on what sort of job you have. Even if you don't have a job, even if you're tired and you're just on a set, your income is not determined by the government and it's not determined by your job. Your income is determined by how willing are you to accept what Jesus said, that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not just give you 5 cents for the next 3 weeks and that's it, don't complain. Give you the kingdom. And see, we don't believe that. And you can tell a person who doesn't believe, they struggle to give. If you believed, like, I mean, you think about the hundredfold return. If you believed in the hundredfold return, even if you didn't have the money, you'd borrow it off someone else to be a giver. Now, I'm not telling you to go and borrow to go and be a giver. What I am telling you is settle some of these issues in your heart. Don't just do it because I'm saying it. Look at what the Word of God has to say. And then ask the Holy Spirit, say, God, give me revelation. And so, financial freedom is in a place where you walk above those pressures, eh? And we saw some examples of it last week. We looked at how Jesus fed the 5,000. He actually started that, and he said, where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat? And we looked at that last week. He never bought bread at all. Well, actually, he did. He bought it from his account in the heavens. He withdrew from his account. He bought without money. That's financial freedom. When he said to his disciples, we were going to buy bread for these people to eat, they were thinking like, man, even 200 denarii, that's like, in today's currency, that's like over $40,000. Even 40 grand's not going to be enough, Lord. I mean, I don't know. Yet he fed them all. That's financial freedom. Where the pressure of getting something done, and whether the cost is exorbitant or whether the cost is small, it doesn't matter. Because it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so we looked at other examples when Jesus told Peter, put your nets in for a catch. And they got a net breaking, boat sinking load of fish. God is no man's debtor. When you're doing what he wants you to do, he will ensure. And notice in both cases, they had surplus. There was left over. Peter just didn't get a great catch, which was enough for that day. He probably got enough, which was probably met his budget for the entire week. To fill both boats to the point of sinking. To fill the net to the point of breaking. We're not talking of barely enough. And that's just typical of Jesus, eh? Who gives exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I shared last week a little bit about our journey, Joy and I, and how God began to teach us, like when she got healed of cancer in 2010, and we, you know, like, particularly me to start with, and then Joy began to join me with it. I just began to see God, because God just got a revelation. I thought, man, God, if you can get rid of cancer, you can do anything. You know, and teach me about finances. I'm just fed up of living week to week. And he began to teach us, you know, he began to teach us about giving. And for us, we were tithing at that stage. We understood that. And he began to challenge us about giving into a ministry. And so we did that. And for us, it was a big thing for $25 a month to make that commitment that we are going to support this ministry for $25 a month. And at the end of that month, when we gave that $25, we looked, kind of like what Micah was sharing, we looked and we thought, well, we didn't even miss that. We thought, let's put another $25 to another ministry. So the next month we sowed $25 into the first ministry and then another $25 into another ministry. And we talked about it, we thought, we didn't miss that either. Let's get a third ministry. So the next month we got three ministries and it was $25 into each one. And soon now we began to notice that there was finances that were coming in. You can't predict how God's going to provide for you, hey? So, I mean, who could have predicted Peter going fish, first fish you catch, open its mouth and you find the coin? You have no idea. You might be thinking, I don't know anybody who's got the sort of money that I need. You don't need to know. You just need to know your Father in heaven takes great pleasure in giving you the kingdom. At the end of that month, we thought, wow, we just began to, so we doubled it. We began to give 50 into each of these ministries. I don't want to go into the, I might share a little bit more later on as we get to it, but I did share last week how this, it was a progress, and you'll see this in your own life. If you want to learn this and grow in it, you can. Find the scriptures, read them, study it out. Don't, you know, like what I said before, don't take my word for it. The scriptures that I'm giving you, look them up, look up the cross references. What did Jesus have to say? How many people just read these things and gloss over it and go, oh yeah, well, whatever. Must be just kind of spiritual stuff. No, the Bible has a lot to say about your finances, hey? But we came to a stage where God called us to give up working for a man altogether. And I remember, you know, I shared a bit about it last week, but it was in the natural, it was a scary thing. Does that mean we just sat at home and just kind of watched Dr. Phil every day? No. There were things that he was calling us to do. And back then we were pastoring in another church and he just told us, you get busy doing these things. And man, I tell you what, God is the best boss you can ever work for. He is the best boss. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you follow him, you know, like, I don't want you to think that you can just stop working. We didn't stop working. We just stopped working for a man. And even then, sort of, that's not completely, because God did many times, he opened up opportunities for us, business opportunities. Although we weren't working for anybody, but we were doing things that were producing income. And we still continue that and do different things. But being financially free, like, there was a path that we had to take, and you will take a path too. You know, God didn't tell us give up your job right at the start. There was a couple of years where we learned and we saw. And the way we measured our success was in our ability to give. Some people measure it on what sort of car they got, what sort of house have they got. No. You can't take that to heaven. But what you sow in obedience to the Lord will go ahead of you, hey? And we measured our prosperity, and we always have measured our prosperity in our ability to give. You can't give if you don't have it. And that first year, as we began to give, by the end of 12 months, I added it up, and I said to Joy, I said, do you realize in this 1 year, we have given more than in all of our married life added up together? We didn't realize it. We were just giving. I mean, you know, we were supporting those ministries at $50 a month, every month, and then we were giving on top of that in different areas. This is above the tithe, because the tithe isn't ours, is it? Tithe is not yours, it's the Lord's. We were so excited. And then the next year, he spoke to us, and he said, I want you to cut your work down by one day a week, but don't decrease your giving. It just didn't make sense in the natural. It's like, what? It's not like we had oodles left over in our budget. You know, I was working 4 days a week as a chaplain, and the Lord was saying, you cut that down to 3 days, but don't decrease your giving. And we found at the end of that year, we'd given double the previous year. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we haven't arrived in this, eh? But we left a while ago. And that's what you can do. You never arrive, and there's levels of this, eh? You grow in this in greater and greater levels. But at some point you gotta choose, you know what, I'm leaving and I'm heading towards this because this is what I see in the Word of God. And you begin to make your journey. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8, give me an oi when you're there. This is a summary of what financial freedom is in one verse. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And he is talking about money here. If you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, it is about a financial offering. And he is talking to the Corinthians about the promise that they made to give an offering. And in the midst of that, he says to them, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will have all sufficiency. He's talking about money. To have more than enough to cover all of your bills and an abundance for every good work. That is the biblical picture of financial freedom. The Amplified Version says, God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Man, I'm just getting to my intro, hey? Why am I sharing all this stuff? Well, number one, I believe God wants to set people free from debt. If you're in debt, then you are a servant to the lender. Number two, I believe that there are people here that God has called to excel in this. We will all, God all, wants all of us to be financially free, but there are some that he calls to excel financially. And I believe there are some here who he has called to excel, who will pour into the kingdom. It takes finances to preach the gospel. While Joy and I live by faith, we don't depend on your giving, but we still have bills to pay. We've learned how to depend on God. But still, money has to come in. And God uses people for that. And I believe there are people here who God wants to raise up to be so astonishingly successful in business and in finances, who he can trust with that money to pour it into the kingdom. Hey. That's another reason why I'm preaching it. And thirdly, the reason why I'm preaching it is I want to lift the lid on our thinking. You will never remotely get near the level of success and prosperity that God wants to bring you. In your own efforts, you will never do that. If all you can point to in your life is what you have been able to work hard and save for, then you ain't even started yet. God has so much more for you. So much more. And that's why we're preaching it, to just raise our thinking. Hey, what's happened to the church? What's happened to believers? You know, when I look around today, and I look at the churches and I look at the majority of believers, we've got people who are getting sick and the church points them to the doctors. We've got people who are getting stressed and the church points them to the psychiatrist. We got people who are just over their heads with finances and just don't know what to do, and the church points them to financial advisors. I never saw Jesus pointing someone to the doctor and say, you better go get that checked out, mate. Except when he would heal them and he said, you go present yourself. You show them. And then present the offering that comes from being healed. I never saw Jesus telling someone, you better get some good financial advice. He said, no, don't fear. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I didn't see him when people were stressed to the max, in fear and in trepidation, where he just said, listen, here's, you know, I've just written, this is a business card of a colleague of mine in Nazareth. Go check him out. Hey, he's a good shrink. No, he would just say to them, don't fear, just believe. We'll get through this. So I want to talk a little bit today about how do you move into financial freedom, hey? And there are levels of it. I remember Joy shared with me one time when she was a new Christian. And she had lots of, you know, I'm trying to illustrate how there's levels of financial freedom. And you can start where you're at and God will get. So when she was first starting, man, she just needed a job. She just, everything was in a mess and she needed some money to, and she didn't know how to believe God for a lot of things, but she was just trusting God, and there was a job that was provided and she was getting lots of shifts and she began to clear the deck, and soon she paid off all the stuff that she owed. She got a loan and she bought a car, a nice little car, and things were going really good. And just as things, she was just getting into a rhythm and things were going really good, and she was getting to know the voice of the Lord, God spoke to her and said, I want you to give up your job. I want you to focus on raising the kids. And she was thinking, God, but like, I've got a loan. How am I going to pay the loan? And what about the bills? And the Lord said, I'll take care of you. You just trust me. Well, she'd grown sufficient. She'd been a Christian. How long had you been a Christian? About a year by then? She'd been a Christian by a year and she knew that God had spoken to her. So she stepped out and she gave up her job. And in the next couple of years, she actually paid off her car loan a year ahead of schedule. She never lacked, and neither did the kids in any way. They had sufficient. Now that was a level of financial freedom that she was experiencing then that she'd never experienced before. But God didn't want her to stay there, hey? And God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. You can grow in this and go up in higher and higher levels, hey? So how do we move there? Have a look at Isaiah 55. Are you getting something out of this morning? Isaiah 55 verse 6. Give me an oi when you're there. We are talking about how to move into financial freedom. Isaiah 55 verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you're going to move into financial freedom, you have to change the way you think. You cannot think like the world. The answer to succeeding financially is not getting a bigger loan. That's the world's answer. Get a loan. Use someone else's money. And just hope that the interest rates don't spike. Here in this scripture it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The first thing we need to do to move towards financial freedom is change the way you think. Recognize God has a totally different way of doing things. Think about it. Think about the world and what it says and what God says and how different their thought patterns are. The world says, hate your enemies. God says, love your enemies. The world says, do evil to those that hate you. God says, do good to those that hate you. The world says, curse those that curse you. God says, bless those who curse you. The world says, pay back those that spitefully use you. God says, pray for those who spitefully use you. And it's not praying like God hit him with a brick, eh? The world says, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. The world says, live for yourself. God says, die to yourself. The world says, say what you have. God says, have what you say. The world says everything should be shared equally. God says whoever has, he'll have more. And the have-nots, even what they have, will be taken away. These are kingdom paradoxes. Hey, I've got a series called Kingdom Paradoxes. One day when God tells me, I'll share and we'll explore these. But these are kingdom paradoxes. A paradox is something, it's something that seems absurd. It doesn't make sense, and yet it's true. The world says, keep what you got if you want to get rich. God says, give and it'll be given to you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you can't believe that you can succeed on 90%, you will never succeed God's way. That's not my opinion, that's the Bible. Hey, I was talking to Ross and Anthony last week. You know, the cross is the filter by which we look at everything in the Old Testament. Whatever you read in the scriptures, you need to run it through the cross. And it'll do one of three things. It'll either run through the cross and be unchanged, or it'll run into the cross and be completely cancelled out, or it'll run through the cross and be altered. Tithing is something that runs through the cross and is unchanged. It was there before the law and it is after the law. You can read in Hebrews chapter 7 when Jesus is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek and he receives tithes there in heaven, and Abram presented his tithe, that's the first mention of tithing, to Melchizedek. The only thing we know about Melchizedek is two things. He received tithes and he blessed. That's the only thing we know. Other than him being the high priest. Run it through the cross, it is unchanged. It was the Lord's, the tithe is the Lord's before, and the tithe is the Lord's after. If you cannot trust God with 90%, you cannot get to the levels that God wants you to get. But you've got to look beyond that. You've got to look beyond just the 90% and begin to look to sowing. and growing in this. It is the most exciting walk you will ever have. John, I love it. It's so exciting. It is so, Jesus is right. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And to be free to be able to give. And every time we've given hasn't been because like, yeah, I want you to understand, financial freedom, remember, is not absence of pressure. There are times where God has spoken to us to give and it's like, that's all we got. And God says, yeah, well, that's all I want you to give. But you know, there's more where that came from, hey? Heaps more. Plenty more. And we've certainly seen it work, and the way we're living now has been the most exciting. And we've certainly seen ourselves come up. We ain't there yet, but we left a long time ago. We're well on the journey, hey? And it's a great journey. But you've got to change the way you think. Because the world's way just won't get you God's results. You just think about it. What's the best interest rate you can get on investing finances? Probably 3-4%. Does anybody know? What's the best interest rate you can get on investing? Let's say you got 10 grand. I think probably 4% maybe. You might be really stretching to find 4%. Jesus offers minimum of 3,000%. 30, 60, 100-fold. Oh, well, that's spiritually. That's spiritual. Read it. Read the context of the scripture where he talks about it. He's talking about money. Peter says to him, Lord, we've left everything. We've left everything and followed you. What will happen to us? And that, in that context, he's talking about how they gave up their possessions. They gave up their businesses. And Jesus said, man, there's no one who's given for the sake of the gospel who will not receive now in this time 100-fold. That's not my opinion. That's Jesus speaking. And he's not talking about spiritual blessings. But we have to change the way we think, hey? Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. But that doesn't mean we can just stay. If you just stay like the world, you'll get like the world. But if you start changing the way you think and line it up to the way God thinks, and you change the way you act and you line it up to the way God wants you to act, you're going to get God's results. Have a look at Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Give me an oi when you're there. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, there's so much in there I'd like to talk about. Anyway, let's keep going. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What's that saying? It's talking about change the way you think. Transformation comes as you change the way you think. The contemporary English version says, don't be like the people of the world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That word conformed literally means don't act in accordance with the standards and the practices of the world. Don't copy what the people in the world do. But be transformed by changing the way you think. Listen, financial freedom is not just something, it's not just mind games. Why do we change the way we think? Because there's a transformation that has already taken place in your spirit if you're a child of God. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That is a miracle. You are a new creation. Your spirit was made anew. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. Why do we change the way we think? The reason we change the way we think is because our spirit already knows the truth. You're a new creation. There is no difference between your spirit and the spirit of Jesus. You can read that for yourself. 1 John 4 verse 17. As he is, so are we in this world. Does he lack faith? No, neither do we. Is he filled with faith? So are we in this world. Is he victorious? So are we in this world. Is he sinless? So are we in this world. And a lot of people, they'll think about stuff like that and go, well, come on, you can't say that you're sinless. That's what the Bible says. But see, if you don't understand that it's talking about your spirit, you'll start looking for evidence in your flesh. You'll look for evidence in your body and in your thoughts. It's not talking about your thoughts. It's not talking about your body. It's talking about your spirit. You are a new creation and you are just like Jesus. The reason we change the way we think is to get in line with what our spirit already knows. And as we get in the line, suddenly your soul and your spirit are in agreement, two against one. Your body and your circumstances then flow in the line. That's the way it works. It's so exciting. It's all in our hands. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. It's only used four times in the New Testament. It's the word from which we get metamorphosis. It is a transformation from the inside out. When Jesus went up onto that mountain with his three closest disciples, and he was transfigured, it's that same word, metamorpho. See, what the disciples saw when Jesus walked the earth wasn't the real Jesus. It was on that mountain. That's the real Jesus. It's like Clark Kent, and he took all his glasses off and he just glowed with the glory of God. And they saw his real form. There was a metamorphosis, and his earthly figure transformed into who he really was. And this scripture in Romans chapter 12 is saying the same thing for you and I. Be transformed. Allow what's in you, as you change the way you think, allow what's in you to begin to shine out of you. And it won't just change your body, it'll change your finances, it'll change everything in your life. Thank you for that one amen, darling. We need to change the way we think, hey? You know, God wants you to be rich. Everyone say rich.
Rich.
Some people struggle with that. Some people say, you shouldn't be talking about this sort of stuff in church. I'm reading scripture to you, hey? You tell me a scripture where it says don't talk about this stuff. I see Jesus talking a lot about it, hey? Some people struggle with this. You know, if you struggle with saying rich, it just ain't going to come to you. But let me prove to you, this is just not my opinion, hey? Thank you, Pete. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Hallelujah. I want to show you this scripture so you understand it's not my opinion that God wants you to be rich. And the word rich is used in this scripture. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, everyone say rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now some people have said, well, you know, come on. That's just talking about spiritually rich. That word rich is the Greek word plousios. And the Greek word plousios, it means, let me get it, where is it? Abounding with wealth. It appears 38 times in the New Testament. And 36 out of 38 of those times is talking about material or financial wealth. The only two times it's used metaphorically, once is in Ephesians where it says God who is rich in mercy, and another time is in James where it says that you're rich in faith. But 36 times it talks specifically about financial abundance. And this verse appears when Paul is talking about finances. And he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. There was no way of misinterpreting this. The word poverty and poor is talking about financial lack, material lack. That's the word. In the original Greek, it's the word tokio, and it means to financial, it means financial or material lack, hey? We have to change the way we think, hey? If you're struggling with, God, you want me to do well financially, how's your faith going to rise? Look at some of these scriptures. Meditate on them. Answer the questions that you need to answer and change the way you think. You know, you glorify God when you're successful. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He's not talking about you opening up an orchard. Fruitfulness is just, God said that right at the start with Adam and Eve, be fruitful. In other words, be successful in everything you do. God wants you to succeed in everything you do. We need to change the way we think. We glorify God when we're successful. It's not a glory to God when we're not succeeding. I've never seen someone who's destitute and poor and people look at them and go, glory to God. But I've seen lots of people who have got God stories about how God has increased them, and people go, wow, that's amazing. Praise God. We've got to change the way we think, eh? Deuteronomy chapter 8. You don't need to turn there, I'll just read it out to you. Oh, actually, no, turn there, because I want to show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 8. What is the purpose of money? I was asking the Lord this during the week. I was saying, God, what's the purpose of money? What's the purpose of wealth? What's it there? What is it? So I thought that would be good for us to talk about and think about since we're talking about financial freedom. What is the purpose of wealth? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. Give me an oi when you're there. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers. The purpose of wealth is to establish his covenant. God wants you to do well financially because it confirms his covenant. When people look at you and they go, man, how are you able to do the things that you're doing? And you point to Jesus and you go, mate, I'm just not smart enough. I just do what he tells me to do and it just seems to work. That confirms the covenant that you have. The purpose of wealth is not for people to feed themselves so they become fat cats who can just sit on leather couches all day and just have someone feed them grapes. The purpose of wealth is for God to confirm his covenant with you. That when people look at you, they'll go, wow, there's got to be something. And that used to happen to me in the chaplaincy. As God began to bless the chaplaincy financially, people would say, man, I remember this, there was this one particular kid, when he heard about some of the faith projects that I would have, he'd go, that's not going to happen. God's not going to do that for you. And then he would see it come to pass. And he'd go, you're just the luckiest person I've ever known. And then after a while, it just kept happening and kept happening. He came to me and he goes, and he said, can you ask God to get me a car? I said, you connect with him and he'll show you how to get a car and I'll pray with you, hey? It confirms his covenant. When you're doing well, it confirms his covenant. And that's what this scripture is saying. Notice also it says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. God doesn't give you wealth. He gives you the power to get it. Yes. So you can't just sit there and be on Facebook scrolling all day. Just going, God, I'm just waiting for you, hey? No, he gives you power. You got to put your hands to something and he'll bless the work of your hands. Seek him. Talk to him and say, God, what is it you want me to do? And then begin to do that. And don't say, oh, God, but that doesn't pay that much. If he's telling you to do it because you know that's where your prosperity is. Do you remember Joseph? He was sold as a slave in Egypt. You can't get much lower pay than a slave. Zero pay. You have no rights. And yet Genesis says Joseph, he was a slave, yet he was a prosperous man. And prosperity just went, everything he set his hand to do was blessed abundantly until he became the manager and the steward, the chief steward of all of Potiphar's affairs, who was a general of the army. Made the guy a multi-millionaire. God had given his hands power to get wealth. He used his hands. Stop sitting around waiting for God to do something. Start seeking God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then begin to be diligent and faithful in doing those things. Give where he shows you to give. Work diligently. If you've got a job, don't cut corners in your job. Don't bring things home that belong in the workplace and say, well, you know, that's called five-finger discount, hey. Don't cut off work early. Give. Be a giver. Give a, you know, like when I tutor, I give. Always, when I'm tutoring, I always give over and above. I'm not watching the clock and go, it's time. I was just about to show you the answer to that, but I have to wait. No, we'll go. We'll go a little bit extra, hey, because I'm sowing. Hey, I'm sowing. I don't want God to be a skinflint when he gives to me. I want to be like my Heavenly Father. He gives me abundantly. I want to give abundantly. But he gives you power to get wealth. You need to then use that power to get wealth. We've got to change the way we think. Everyone say, change the way you think. Really, the bottom line is, what I'm talking about is discover who you are in Christ. You are a son of God. You might have the title of deputy assistant cleaner. But you are a son of God. Hey. And you do that. If that's where God has called you, you do that to the best of your ability. You will be blessed. You will not lack in any way. But you got to change the way you think. If you're doing that job and you're complaining every day, well, thanks a lot, God. Deputy assistant. I could have been assistant cleaner, but deputy assistant cleaner. Thank you. And if you're just complaining and whining about the things that God's called you to do, where's the promotion that's going to come from that? Do you know how you know your faith is working? When you're rejoicing. Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 15, verse 13 talks about that. That your faith is evidenced through peace and joy. When you're rejoicing, you just go, God, he just got this, eh? Thank you so much, deputy assistant cleaner. Man, I'm going to change the world doing this. One dunny at a time. Well, maybe not that much. The point that I'm making is start, you know, what I'm saying is realize who you are. What you do doesn't define who you are. Hey, you are a son of God. You're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's who you are. No angel is allowed to be seated in the presence of God. Hebrews says that. To which of the angels did he say, come, sit? No. Yet to you and I, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's who you are. When you begin to discover who you are, it changes the way you think. And suddenly your faith is free to flow from your spirit. And all the things that God has deposited in there begin to flow out and it begins to transform you. That's how transformation comes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, you didn't earn your salvation. Is that right? You can't earn your healing. You start trying to pray harder, pray longer, read the Bible more, come to church more, give more, do all these things to get healing or get... You can't earn any of the blessings of God. You can't. In fact, the harder you try to earn these things, the further it'll depart from you. It all comes by grace through faith. What made you think you had to earn a living? Well, you know, we ought to earn a living. Where does it say that in the Bible? It is important to work. If you're not providing for your household, the scripture says you're worse than an infidel. Infidel, la 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 la. Sorry, reminded me of a game we used to play. Used to play kind of like Al-Qaeda versus the West. Anyway. You don't have to earn your money. You just do what God called you to do. Work where He's called you to do. And you find your income will be over the space. It's not going to happen every week, but you will find over the space of time, your income is far greater than what your job is giving you. And if it's not happening, it's because you just haven't changed the way you've thought yet. I want to read out, you can write these down, you can look them up in your own time, hey. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, I want you to listen to this, hey. So it shall be when the Lord your God, he's speaking to the Israelites, hey. Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and they're about to come into the promised land. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you've eaten and you are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? When the Israelites came into the promised land, they received cities that they didn't build, houses filled with beautiful furniture that they didn't fill, vineyards that they didn't plant. Did they work hard? Did they earn those things? No. They just walked into it. Yes, there was pressure. Yes, there was opposition. There was giants in the land. But God was with them and they conquered everywhere they went and they received things that they didn't work for. Now, you know, if they're members of an old covenant and we're members of a new covenant based on better promises, you think God's not going to do that even more so for you and I? How much more? If they receive these things, how much more good does God? You don't have to work to get the house of your dreams. Just do what God tells you to do. And I'm convinced, and I'm not saying that this is scripture, although you could probably find scripture to support this. But for Joy and I, the conviction that we have is that we won't need to borrow to do anything that God has called us to do. And I believe we'll get a house debt free. And I believe we'll get cars debt free. We just walk the way God wants us to walk. But it ain't going to happen unless you change the way you think. I'll just finish up with just a couple of comments. You know, it's important, you know, as you learn these things, learn to not make decisions based on your capacity to earn. Don't make decisions based on your bank balance. There are many, many times as you begin to walk this road, God will actually call you to do something that's impossible financially. We're talking about finances here. Just impossible. And I'm telling you just from our own experience. So what? You want us to do what? It looked impossible in the natural to just stop working and just keep moving forward. But we didn't just stay at that level. We've come up levels in just doing what He wants us to do. But if we made a decision based on our earning capacity, we wouldn't have listened. We would have said, we're not going to be earning nothing there. No. What are you? You got another opinion, God? You got a plan B? Is there something else we can do? Don't make decisions based on your earning. Learn it. You know, and start it. Start where you're at. Don't try to operate. You know, don't try to operate at this level if you've never successfully operated at this level. Start where you're at. It's all right. Learn, And as you succeed, go to higher levels. Believe God that you can get to higher levels. God wants it. You know, I'm convinced there are people sitting in our midst who are going to experience extraordinary wealth. We're all, God's desire for every one of us is to be rich. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. But there are people that God has called to experience extraordinary success because he is calling them to furnish the end time harvest. Hey. There's so many stories I could tell you about just in our own experience and our journey along the way. And like I said, we ain't arrived, but I mean, you know, that first year we were, the first year when I, gave up chaplaincy and Joy and I just began to live by faith, our giving that year was the equivalent of 6 months of my salary the previous year. When I was working, we were astounded. Like, what? And then God called us to go to the United States. And that, to us, that looked impossible. Like, we'd never traveled overseas. We'd never had the money to travel overseas. And when God spoke to us to do that, we had a little bit of money, but we just didn't have that much money. And yet here we are, like 4 years later, and in a few weeks' time, we're going for the fourth time. You know, I added it up. It's just a little under $50,000. That has come through our hands to furnish our travels. I can't explain to you, you know, like I can give you stories and share this is what happened and stuff, but you can't find natural explanation for supernatural phenomena. But at some point, you're going to have to decide, I want financial freedom. And if you want it, you're going to have to change the way you think. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just pray in the Spirit just for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 La solo voske che pa yangrara kasie. O lengere che shebra godo sovora kasie ngere kasie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if this morning you've been stirred up and you really want to make some quality decisions this morning to begin, to at least begin your journey towards financial freedom, then I want to lead you in a prayer. The prayer is not as important as the attitude of your heart. And so, if this is not the desire of your heart, then just leave it. You know, look, if you still got questions and stuff, just leave it. Just be honest enough within yourself and just say, well, I want to get these questions answered. But if in your heart, you know, you're stirred up and maybe you've already made decisions, but this morning you'd like to just reaffirm those decisions, then I want to lead you in a prayer. Whether you're someone who's making a brand new first-time decision to move in this direction or whether you're someone who's already made that decision, but you just want to confirm it and strengthen that decision, then I want you to just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that it's your will for me to be fruitful. And when I am, I glorify you. Your word says that though Jesus was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might become rich. I believe that. I believe Jesus did it for me. Therefore, since he bore my lack, I am rich. I bear his abundance. He took my sin, and I took his righteousness. He took my lack, and I take his abundance. in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help me. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Show me how to walk in this way. Lead me. I thank you that you are my teacher. You are my comforter. And you will lead me. And I will move into greater and greater levels of financial freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.